Are you ready for an all-new season of Survivor? You better be, because Survivor 46 is here, and it's 90 minutes of twists and turns you don't want to miss. Better yet, after each episode, there's a brand new episode of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. Each week, we go behind the scenes of the episode's biggest moments, taking you into the how and the why things happened. And this season, we're very lucky to be joined by an expert, the winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares.
What is up? I'm thrilled to be joining this team and to be giving you my take on how and the why players made the moves they did, what it takes to outwit, outplay, and outlast, and to ask Jeff some questions, because even after 26 days out there, there is still a lot for me to uncover.
Bring it, D. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Comedy Central.
From New York City, the only city in America, it's the show that invented news. This is The Daily Show with your host, Charlamagne Tha God.
The Daily Show. I'm your host, Charlamagne Tha God. Hello. Happy Halloween, everyone. As you can see, I'm dressed as the scariest thing there is. An intelligent black man with an opinion. That's right. We've got a great show for you tonight, so let's get into the headlines. Let's kick things off with a big problem facing New York City. Right now, Mr. Met started an OnlyFans. I had no ideas balls had balls. But there's another issue that's even more of a crisis for New York, the influx of migrants, okay? Every week, thousands are arriving in the city, and now Mayor Eric Adams is taking a break from the club to figure out what to do with them.
Mayor Eric Adams is now looking for new shelter locations, including outdoor spaces and tents and other temporary shelters. Now, the mayor says the city is just out of room. City officials say they are trying to re-ticket and encourage migrants to go elsewhere. The mayor says he wants to convene a roundtable discussion with city officials, the public, and even the media. At this point, he says if anyone has any better ideas of what they can do, he says he wants to hear them.
If you have some good ideas for us on how to manage the situation, I am begging for your ideas.
No, our ideas, that's not how this works, okay? Our idea was to elect you to handle this, all right? Imagine a doctor asking, what do you think your kidneys need? Now, I get crowdsourcing for fun stuff like who should be on a new stamp or, you know, what should the state flower be, but you're asking random people from Staten Island in the Bronx, okay, for ideas on how to handle immigrants? That's not gonna end well. Eric Adams has New Yorkers all wrong. New Yorkers give you opinions, not ideas. It's always, f*** you, asshole, okay? It's never signal before you turn next time, asshole, all right? And what bugs me is Eric Adams was very progressive on immigration when it wasn't a problem in New York, okay? When it was only Texas dealing with it, he was like, we need to open our hearts to the migrants. Now that they're coming to New York, he's like, build the wall, okay? What it all comes down to is a lot of people are progressive in theory until they get tested. Half the people who want to abolish the police, the moment they get robbed, they call the 911 like, send me your most racist cop, all right? But let's move on to a different challenge facing America, artificial intelligence, okay? It's the reason it's so much easier to do your kids' homework these days. But now Joe Biden is trying to put a stop to that.
President Biden has issued a first, an executive order setting standards on artificial intelligence. The sweeping order includes a number of requirements. Homeland Security will look at the risk AI poses to critical infrastructure, including chemical and nuclear risks, and the threat to the privacy of Americans. The
AI devices are being used to deceive people. Deepfakes use AI-generated audio and video to smear reputations, speak for spreads fake news, and commit fraud. With AI, fraudsters can take 3-second, and you all know this, 3-second recording of your voice. I've watched one of me on a couple of times. A said, when the hell did I say that?
To be fair, Joe Biden says that about real videos of himself. Okay? I feel sorry for Biden. He's too old to have to learn about AI. Some poor intern had to explain all this to him. Biden was like, so you're telling me one day this thing's going to take over the whole world? And the intern was like, no, sir, that's a printer. And I'll tell you guys what I think. I'm against AI. There's just too much risk with it, all right? The lines between truth and lies are already blurred, and now AI is going to obliterate reality totally. Right now, anyone can make a video with world leaders saying anything. You know how I know? Because we did it, Joe!
Have you happened to see any of this AI? This shit is all over the internet. I saw one the other day. I was like, oh, f*** me. When did I say that? Through my f***ing mind. Hell, maybe AI should take over the planet. It can't do a worse job than me or Trump. Have you seen him recently? Dude is falling apart. He's catching up with me. But shit, at least I'm not a fascist f- boy.
And finally, let's move on from a president to someone who's never going to be president, Ron DeSantis. Since he started campaigning, people started noticing that he's got something weird going on with his boots, and now he's being called out for it.
I'm sure your marketing team points out how they're trying to troll you in the marketplace. I've seen you walk with these boots. Go ahead and play this clip. This on TikTok went viral. This thing's got 1.2 million likes. And some people are wondering...
I haven't seen that.
They've not shown this to you. Okay, no. What they're trying to say with this is that in your boots, you have heels.
No. Those are just standard off-the-rack Lucchese...
How tall are you, Governor?
5'11".
5'11"? Okay. Why don't you wear tennis shoes and dress shoes?
I do wear tennis shoes when I work out. Yeah.
100%. You do? Yep. Okay.
Yo, you know your campaign is going terribly wrong when people only want to talk about your shoes. Okay? Yeah. We'll get to Israel and Palestine in a second. First, what the f*** is up with those boots, bruh? Look, coming at this as a short person, I can't relate to this type of insecurity. Okay? It's actually the opposite for me. I hate tall for no reason, ass people. Like, why are you 6'8 and not in the NBA? Like, what a waste. We need a short president anyway, okay? People always talk about Napoleon complexes. Well, that guy ruled the entire continent. Abraham Lincoln was tall, and he got shot in the head. So you tell me. You tell me who's more successful, okay? But at least now I know why DeSantis is in that huge fight with Disney. It's not because of wokeness. It's because you gotta be this tall to ride the magic teacups. So the question is, does it matter if a presidential candidate is tall or not? To debate the issue, let's go out live to Ronnie Chang and Troy Iowata. My guy, Ronnie, what's your take on Ron DeSantis using lifts?
I think it's pathetic, Charlemagne, all right? Ron DeSantis needs to stop trying to pretend that he's one of us, naturally tall guys.
Ronnie, what the hell are you doing, man? Are you on stilts or something?
No, I've always been this tall. People just think I'm short because I'm sweet and soft-spoken, but I'm actually 6'8". Hey, don't take my word for it. You can measure me anytime, but not now.
All right, man. Whatever. Troy, do you agree that Ron DeSantis is being pathetic?
No, I actually think it's great. Ron DeSantis is finally accepting gender-affirming care. Because Ron doesn't feel like his outside matches his inside. He sees himself as a big, strong boy. Even though he's a little munchkin with itty-bitty legs, like a wiener dog.
Yo, it's not great, Troy, okay? He doesn't have the mental strength to be president if he's so insecure that he fakes being tall in such an obvious way, all right? But I understand, not everyone can be as naturally tall as me.
Ronnie, please knock it off. I saw you yesterday. You grew like a foot since then, man. Come on.
I got a good night's sleep, okay? It's called a growth spurt. It's normal.
You know, actually, Charlemagne, there's a long list of presidents who've done similar things to hide that they were shorties. Ooh. Lincoln wore a big hat. FDR put that blanket over his little legs. And Jimmy Carter is short, but that doesn't matter because he's hung as f***.
Charlemagne, I'm also hung as f***, but I don't actually care because I'm already confident because I'm 6'9".
See? You said you were 6'8", Ronnie.
No. I mean, yeah, I did, but I grew a little during this report. It's natural.
You know what the real tragedy is here is if DeSantis had been a bit nicer to drag queens, they could have helped him pull off those heels, and he could have ended up serving some serious You know, not just that, they could have contoured his nose or found him a barber that isn't out for revenge.
Yeah, or they could have helped him fake being tall better.
Ronnie, are you sitting on somebody's shoulders?
No, my coat has COVID.
All right, someone get Ronnie off that guy, please. Come on, Ronnie and Troy, everybody, come on. When we come back, we'll find out a way to raise your home value, so don't go anywhere.
Love the Daily Show Ears Edition? Then help us get to know you so we can keep creating the content you love. Go to cohst.app/TDS or click the link in this episode's show notes to fill out a quick 2-minute survey. And tell us a little bit about yourself.
Show. Tonight is Halloween, so we had Michael Costa investigate one of the scariest places in America, the real estate market. Check it out.
After record highs during the COVID era, U.S. housing sales have reached their lowest point since the 2008 recession. Rising interest rates and low inventory are forcing realtors like Santa Fe's Suzanne Taylor to represent properties that are less than desirable.
There's very little inventory here. Mm. You get a lot of homes that have been completely torn apart, mm-hmm. You know, animal feces in the living room, just nasty type of, yeah. You know, properties that have just been left to rot.
And some of these Santa Fe homes also present another unique challenge.
So basically, people do believe in ghosts in Santa Fe. There's just a certain energy, a certain vibe that people get.
You're saying Santa Fe has more ghosts than other cities.
Yeah, it does. I can observe it, especially like on an open house.
Unsurprisingly, an open house mixing desperate, vulnerable buyers and malevolent spirits can spell trouble.
When they walk into a living room, mm-hmm. or the bedroom.
Someone walks into a bedroom and they start going like,
they don't get like crazy like that.
Okay.
But what they do.
More like this.
They'll just like a lot more subtle.
Okay, so more like.
Like, they walk in and they walk right past the room. They don't want to even spend any time in it.
So these distressed feces and ghost-infested properties could be a tough sell. But luckily, Suzanne has a solution.
So I get it as physically cleaned up as I possibly can. And then when everybody is out of the house, then I call Jane.
That Jane is this Jane. Paranormal investigator and psychic medium, Jane Phillips.
I used to be a mortgage lender. And that launched what I do now, which is paranormal energy clearings for primarily the real estate industry.
Terrifying.
Yep, it is. I've never been scratched or bitten or any of those movie things, but.
You're talking about mortgage lending or ghost busting now?
Ghost busting.
Because I've bitten and scratched my mortgage lender.
Yes.
With these interest rates.
Yep.
And Jane's energy clearing services can address almost any inexplicable issue.
You might feel like the hair on the back of your neck go up when you walk in the house and you go, I don't know what's here. You might have something called a poltergeist. You might find an energetic connection from an alien group. So there are all these emotional energies that get dumped in a place. Maybe there was a drug person in it or there was a death in the property.
What are you picking up with me? How's my ghost energy?
Well, I had to do a little clearing.
You've cleared me already?
Correct.
Okay. Don't you need my consent to do that?
And that's a question I get all the time.
Yeah.
And the answer is no, because I wanted us to have a good interaction.
That's not creepy at all.
No, it isn't.
And with my last bit of skepticism exercised, I was ready to join Jane on a house clearing session.
Well, generally when I start in a house, I start right at the entranceway. So I will just check, is there anything in this closet? Mm. And there is something, but
there's something in this closet.
It's kind of like an elf energy sitting with his legs over the edge.
There's an elf?
Yeah. So we're removing the energy.
Obviously, yeah.
Yeah, we've cleared the closet.
All right, no. Peace, bitch.
I'm just going to go. Oh, I hate this hallway. Can I turn the light on?
Why doesn't the light turn on?
There's a lot of energy that's coming through this way.
Right. Does that mean someone was murdered in one of these rooms?
It has nothing to do with murder. It just feels like I'm being prevented from going in. I have to go in anyway, even though I feel like okay. I'm being prevented. So I'm walking in. All right, in I am.
Okay, so I don't necessarily feel the same, so I'm just gonna go to the bathroom.
It's,
I don't love this
it's
mold
more,
either.
It's thick in here. There's a little boy in here. He wants his mommy, he's saying, and
who's that? Is that a ghost?
That's the toilet.
Oh.
Don't be growling at me. Mm-mm. This energy does not want to go to the light. It doesn't live there. It lives in the dark.
Okay. If I had to guess, I would say murder.
Nope.
Okay.
Oh, geez, I haven't done that one before. I used to be really embarrassed doing this in front of people.
Why would you be embarrassed doing this? Well, this house is f***ed up, huh?
Yeah, and does it look like it was f***ed up?
No.
Right?
No.
But in the end, there's only one thing that matters, the results.
It always helps. I have seen Jane's work where a house was just sitting there and nobody wanted to have anything to do with it when they walked in the door. I have her coming into a clearing and then I'd get a contract within a week.
Wow.
She's fantastic.
Jane's methods for getting homes sold may be unorthodox.
Watch out for the wall, Jane.
But given the frightening insanity of the American housing market, involving the supernatural isn't that unreasonable and may even give us a little bit of hope.
A lot of Americans are worried they can never afford their own house, but what you're saying is that once we're dead, we'll all be homeowners. I'm going to haunt a condo in Miami Beach.
That's not really how it works.
Well, we don't really know, do we?
Right.
Thank you, Michael. When we come back, CEO Rich Paul will be joining me on the show, so don't you go anywhere.
Love the Daily Show Ears Edition? Then help us get to know you so we can keep creating the content you love. Go to cohst.app/TDS or click the link in this episode's show notes to fill out a quick 2-minute survey and tell us a little bit about yourself.
Welcome back to The Daily Show. My guest tonight is the CEO and founder of Clutch Sports Group, which represents some of the biggest athletes in professional sports. He's here to talk about his New York Times bestseller, Lucky Me, a memoir of changing the odds. Please welcome CEO Rich Paul. How you doing, my brother?
I'm great.
Big CEO energy.
Always. You gotta have that.
Yeah, man. Let me read some of these stats, man. Clutch Sports negotiated $900 million worth of contracts this summer. You got $4 billion in contracts total. You've got a performance sportswear brand in partnership with New Balance. And Lucky Me is now a New York Times bestseller, man. Amazing. But when you gonna learn how to spell clutch?
That is how you spell clutch.
K-L-U-T-C-H?
Yes. Knowledge, longevity, understanding, trust, communication, and honesty.
Okay. But, yeah. That's a good thing. That's good. How'd you come up with that?
You know, when I was thinking about the company and the name for the company, what you need to be in sports, you need to be, you need to have that clutch gene and be clutch. But then I also flipped it and said you actually needed to be in life. You need to be clutch. Now, with my partnership with New Balance, it's a little twist to it because the new athlete is all of you guys are athletes. You're an athlete, your wife's an athlete. And so from that perspective, it's aiming across the humanity of the athlete and also just the regular person who happens to cover the field every day and what they do in their life every day.
What do you mean when you say we're athletes?
you cover the ground. You work, you did the Breakfast Club this morning, okay. You're on the Daily Show, et cetera. You know, your wife covers the ground when she's at home, making sure things, what needs to
be. What the hell you know about my wife, Rich?
I hear you, because I hear you talk about her all the time in a very positive way. I don't know her. I'm just telling you. But that person is, kindness never hurts. Love is never wasted. Unity starts with you. Trust makes it possible. Community is a mentality, and honesty keeps it real.
Damn. Yeah. When you just start making acronyms, man.
I'm a writer on the low.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, you say you honed your deal-making instincts by winning dice games as a kid. You know, if you read Lucky Me, great read, you should, you'll know that. But have you changed since then? Are you still a gambler, you know, with a better credit line?
it's a different type of gamble. I mean, I think growing up, I did what I had to do, mm-hmm. right? And it was a sport. It was actually my sport, gambling was. Today, not so much as it pertains to in those environments and situations like that, but I think every day getting up, taking risks. Today, they're calculated risks that I take. Mm-hmm. Come from a place of strategy and a lot of preparation. But yeah, I still take the same risks.
Yeah. What's the last big gamble you took, you think?
The last big gamble I took, I would probably say, I bet on myself to start Clutch. That was a big gamble.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, you've been vocal about no black agents helping you when you entered the industry. You said they went to families and talked bad about you. Did you get flack for those statements?
I didn't really get flack. I got some people a little, you know, upset because the thing is, what I meant by that is we have to have a better understanding of mm-hmm. our positioning and our work practice, right? And there's a way to do things, right? And it's all in competition. It's all, I love to compete. But then when you do it from a place of malice, then that changes the landscape of things. And I just don't think that has to be the case. But it's been the case prior to. And I wasn't shining a light on whether black or white agents, because I can honestly say no agents, regardless of what color they were. But for me, when you read the book, I don't come from that. The game was given. And even in competition, I learned by losing. When I was gambling, I became a great gambler mm-hmm. because I lost my way to being a great gambler, not because of anything more than that, mm-hmm. right? And so I understand how to take, there's wins and losses at times, but it was a little bit different in terms of the integrity and based upon their intent. It was just something that I have a tremendous lack of respect for, because where I come from, those consequences were a little different for us.
Ooh.
And we don't get those second and third chances, especially being young and black in America. So
in the book, you know, you had to deal with, like, real killers in the street. So, like,
oh, absolutely, so on an everyday basis.
Who's more cutthroat, these agents in this business or the killers in the street?
You can't see them coming. You know, they'll smile at your face and then they have a conversation with parents. But I've elevated above that. Today, I wake up every day looking for companies to buy. So I'm not even in competition with them per se. And I still recruit when and how I want to. And I built a business to where we recruit across the board. But I just think it needs to be, I have a platform where I can actually shine a light on it.
Yeah.
And again, like I'll give you a prime example. I had a call, a gentleman called me, was in a situation. Now prior to him calling me, his representation basically tried to poach one of my players. Smile in my face, see me at games, et cetera. Okay, fine, nothing happened. But when the shoe was on the other foot, I didn't do the same to them. I even said to him, I said, look, I'm not trying to overstep my boundaries. Mm-hmm. I'm willing to help you and help your representation help you, because that's who I am as a person. So just bringing a different integrity to the space, because just because something used to be a certain way and is a certain way today, that doesn't mean it has to remain that way.
Why give him that courtesy if he wasn't gonna give you that?
That's just how I was raised.
Yeah.
My mom and dad never raised me to you know.
Absolutely. I wanna ask you about somebody, man. Dwayne Martin, you know Dwayne Martin, great friend, confidant.
I do know Dwayne Martin, yeah.
Yeah, great friend, confidant to Will and Jada. He had a lot of successes as an agent. He's a big advocate
really
of yours.
He really hoop, too.
He could really hope. Above the Rim was not just a movie.
No, you know? He could play.
And he's a big advocate of yours. He told me he gave you advice to leave CAA immediately because you are your father and your father had his own store. Any truth to that?
I mean, he wouldn't say it if it wasn't some truth to it. I mean, there was a ton of people that that when I ran across the idea of what I was going to do, told me, yeah, you should definitely do that based upon them knowing me. So I can't sit here and say it's not any truth to that. He didn't give me the idea to leave, that's for sure. But through our conversations, he's always been supportive of me, and I appreciate that.
Now, you're one of the few sports agents that people know by name, right? Does that level of fame enable or hinder your ability to do your job? Like, who gets a better table, you or Drew Rosenhaus, when y'all out?
I don't think I eat at the restaurants Drew Rosenhaus.
God damn, Rich. You too rich, man. Jesus Christ.
No offense to Drew. He lives in Miami. Like, there's a different taste bud there.
But does it help you or hurt you that you're, you know, a notable figure?
I think, the notable figure perspective probably helps. But what helps me even more is how I treat people while being a notable figure. I think that helps even more.
Okay. What does a sports agent actually do?
We know
they exist, right?
But what our 90% of the business is you're in client services.
Okay.
That's 90% of the business. But it's layered, you know, for everything from negotiating contracts, developing players both on and off the floor, working with their families, marketing, you know, shoe deals and things like that. Really, I like to lead from a place of education. So how do I better educate the player and the family? Because I don't know how long this person is going to play the game. Right? So you can't count your eggs before they hatch, and you can only look at them as a talent. Mm. So I kind of go about it a little bit different way, but I also have the capabilities and the ability to do so because I don't really have nobody beating down my back in terms of I have to do something and you have to reach this quota, et cetera. So I say that in all fairness because everyone might not have the same, I would say, flexibility as I have.
Do you help with marketing and promotional ideas for your athletes? Like, do you look at something and say, oh, this would be good for AD or this would be good for Bron?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, all the time. I mean, I'm a creative at heart, so I like to come up with things. And also, what is marketing? Like, so if you talk to me about marketing, and most families don't know this. When you talk to me about marketing, you'll say, I see a company, get a deal done, that's marketing. Mm-hmm. It's not marketing, that's an endorsement. Marketing, in most cases, is storytelling. So what narrative you want out there, what picture you're trying to paint. The best marketers in the world, they never show you a price or anything. I said this before. Mm-hmm. They tell you a story, then you go out and buy that product, right? Different than when you're looking to buy a car commercial. Mm-hmm. They show you the car, they show you the price, depending on which one you get, the LE or the SC, et cetera. It's a difference between the two. So the issue we have right now with NIL is everyone's looking at it as a cash grab. And we're going to get rich tomorrow. No, it's not. Because when you really think about it, NIL, it's necessary, but it's important for it to be managed and controlled. And the most important, the number one step should be education. There's a lot of kids getting NIL deals, they're not paying taxes. So you look up. Yeah, I mean, they don't understand that aspect.
They're not going to have no student loan debt, but they're going to be in debt with the IRS.
Yeah, exactly. So when you look at it from that perspective, and they're coming into it, and the family's coming into it saying, how much money are we going to make? A lot of those numbers are very falsified numbers. And it's just common sense. If you're going to spend 6 months at a university and you have a partnership from NIL, what's the actual ROI from that company in 6 months? Not much. So I tell my guys, if you're a pro, why are you focusing on NIL when you're going to a place that can pay you more money than any brand ever?
Damn.
Not even possible.
So you against NIL deals?
I'm not against it because I expedited NIL.
Okay.
The deal I did with Darius Baisley for New Balance, $1 million internship, was NIL before NIL. I did that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just for the right positioning for NIL where it doesn't have kids jumping around from school to school and making decisions based upon the money. It's a bad habit to build when you start moving based upon finance. That's a very bad habit to build.
Mm. Now, I saw you recently on Club Shay Shay.
It's fun.
You was on there lying. Who's a bigger liar, you or LeBron?
Well, here's the thing. First of all, I'm not lying. As a friend of mine, Charlamagne, you shouldn't say that on national TV, because I'm not.
I have no proof to back up you can shoot like Steph.
That's why you should not say I'm lying. Here's the point I'm trying to make.
Okay.
He asked a specific question. I gave a specific answer. And the key word, if this was a word problem, Shannon would have failed. He would have got it wrong.
Okay.
Shooting. I didn't say playing. I didn't say accolades. I said shooting. So the point I'm trying to make is, if you want to shoot jump shots with me, you have to be a pro.
So a game of horse.
No. Meaning we put 5 spots on the court. From each spot, in order to beat me, you have to be 8 out of 10 from each spot to beat me.
Mm-hmm.
To pretty much tie me if I'm shooting it really well.
What have you done to prove this, Rich? Where's the tape? There's got to be some tape of something.
Do you want some names you can call?
Who?
Call Kevin Hart.
Okay. I can call Kevin.
No. Call Drake.
I can't call Drake.
Oh, you no. Don't call Drake.
I can't call
You're the last person to call Drake. Call Kevin Durant.
That's the first athlete you named, by the way.
But wait a minute, I'm not done.
Okay.
Call LeBron. You can call him.
He's gonna lie for you.
He won't lie for me. He'll lie with me if I was lying.
Ooh.
But I'm not lying.
You admit that y'all be lying.
If I was lying, but I'm not lying.
Okay.
We're not in that position. We don't have to lie.
Do y'all laugh at the memes of LeBron lying?
I laugh at LeBron all day long. No, we had a group chat that's hilarious. But no, seriously, but the point I'm trying to make is, it's very difficult for a civilian, non-professional athlete to shoot.
You just called all of us athletes. Now we civilian.
I said that's non-professional athlete. I'm serious. And so Shannon's, he don't understand it, but we got to have a little, he got to pay to see it. I don't do stuff for free like that.
Rich Paul, ladies and gentlemen. Lucky Me is available now. We're going to take a quick break. We'll
Thank
be
you.
Right back after this.
Love the Daily Show Ears Edition? Then help us get to know you so we can keep creating the content you love. Go to cohst.app/TDS or click the link in this episode's show notes to fill out a quick 2-minute survey. And tell us a little bit about yourself.
Show for tonight. But before we go, please consider donating to the Black and Missing Foundation. They bring awareness to missing persons of color, provide vital resources to their families and friends, and educate the minority community on personal safety. If you can, please donate to the link below.
Explore more shows from the Daily Show podcast universe by searching The Daily Show wherever you get your podcasts. Watch The Daily Show weeknights at 11, 10 Central on Comedy Central, and stream full episodes anytime on Paramount Plus.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.
Are you ready for an all-new season of Survivor? You better be, because Survivor 46 is here, and it's 90 minutes of twists and turns you don't want to miss. Better yet, after each episode, there's a brand new episode of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. Each week, we go behind the scenes of the episode's biggest moments, taking you into the how and the why things happened. And this season, we're very lucky to be joined by an expert, the winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares.
What is up? I'm thrilled to be joining this team and to be giving you my take on how and the why players made the moves they did, what it takes to outwit, outplay, and outlast, and to ask Jeff some questions, because even after 26 days out there, there is still a lot for me to uncover.
Bring it, D. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.